Thank you all for being here. I'm Senator Connie Johnson, and I want to apologize as usual for being late. We're in session. But today we are convening this press conference to talk about the letter that is being sent by a coalition of organizations here in Oklahoma regarding the moratorium, as well as the governor's appointment of a review team to evaluate circumstances surrounding last week's botched execution. I'm joined today by representatives of these various groups. We will have copies of the letter to the governor available to you. But at the outset, I'd just like to say that we fully acknowledge that the government's role as an executioner is a very serious role. And our feeling is that, at a minimum, this role should be carried out in a very transparent, open, and accountable way. We feel that has not been the case to date, given all of the particulars leading up to this execution, and certainly given what we perceived was the rushed manner in which it was executed. Today, we're going to talk about our concerns about the review panel that's been appointed and the qualifications of those persons who are serving in that capacity. But we wanted to definitely comment on the fact that there are two resolutions that are presently in the process here in the Capitol. SCR 43 was introduced last Thursday, calling for a moratorium, as well as a study of additional issues related to the death penalty that I've been pursuing for the last 8 years, including some assessment of the cost of the death penalty versus life without parole as a sentence, the constitutionality of the death penalty, the racial disparities that are inherent in the death penalty, the way it's administered in Oklahoma. SCR 43 will require a moratorium, as well as the studying of those additional areas of concern. Again, our concern is that if we're going to be executioners, that this process be carried out in a humane manner. And then, when something goes wrong in that process, to have an accountable process whereby the evaluation of what happened is carried out by independent people who are independent of this particular administration and the state of Oklahoma. Again, I will have copies of the letter available, and this time I'm going to invite some additional speakers to address you as well. There will be David Slane, who's a local attorney who's worked on the death penalty issue, the ACLU director, former state representative Ryan Kiesel, and Brady Henderson, the general counsel, as well as, who else do I have to speak?
Garland
Pruitt, with the local chapter, Oklahoma City chapter of the NAACP, and then we'll take questions. Thank you.
Brady, you guys want to? Will you come up with me for just a minute?
In the letter to Governor Fallon, we brought out that first and foremost, we're asking that an indefinite moratorium be placed on executions in Oklahoma until there's an opportunity to review the entire process. The ACLU will talk about the independence of Commissioner Thompson, who we do not believe is independent and should not be in that role, and ask that he's be replaced as the person that's going to be in charge of the review of the execution. And they'll talk about that just briefly, but I will outline the three reasons that we believe that Commissioner Thompson is not qualified personally to review that matter. First, Commissioner Thompson is a witness to the execution, and as an eyewitness to Clayton Lockett's execution, is not appropriate for a person who witnessed something to then lead the investigation into it. It's basic law 101 that any policeman would know: a witness does not investigate something, and we do not believe it's inappropriate for an eyewitness to be a so-called objective investigator. Second, and the ACLU will talk about this more in depth in just a moment, but Thompson is a cabinet member who is accountable to the governor. There's significant reasons why to believe that his actions proceeding in that execution and those actions afterwards, anybody who is connected has a conflict of interest, in our opinion, that was involved with the execution process. Also, Commissioner Thompson chose and has as his top legal advisor Stephen, is it Kreiss?
Kreiss.
Stephen Kreiss, who had strong prior connections to other state agencies, specifically the Attorney General's office. Commissioner Thompson is a former employee of the Oklahoma Department of Corrections, the very agency that he's now charged with investigating. And he chose and has as his top legal advisor Stephen Kreiss, who is a former assistant attorney general who was involved in the procurement of lethal injection drugs, both with Oklahoma and then the discussions with Texas. Several weeks ago, under the Freedom of Information Act, he described himself as a member of the team
Pentobarbital,
thank you. And also other attorney generals and Department of Corrections staff joked about obtaining those drugs and how the OU Texas game, they should get free tickets and free tolls on the Texas tollway. We think those emails point to a lack of professionalism, a lack of good judgment, and most importantly, in this investigation, a lack of objectivity. We think it also shows that Commissioner Thompson has a lack of judgment in choosing this man to be his top legal advisor. It would be unreasonable to think that a man who's charged with investigating something, his lawyer would not have input. And would you help me show the emails, please?
Okay. Yeah, tell me what you're talking about.
The first email, these are emails, and we can provide copies to the press. Will you help me with this? Yes. The first email was from Seth Branham, who was an assistant attorney general, to Stephen Kreiss, who was the assistant attorney general and also now is a top legal advisor for Commissioner Thompson. And he said, "I don't think assurances from Texas to take a dive in the OU Texas gang for the next 4 years is a very good deal. I think Texas is going to take a dive for many years to come in football, judging from last year's fiasco. Even Iowa State beat them in Austin. Okay, I'll forgive and forget with sideline passes. I'll forgive and forget with sideline passes to team
Pentobarbital.
You," so he's part of the killing team. "You, me, Martha, the warden, Mike Oakley, plus anyone else we can think of who is deserving to the 2011 OU Texas game, plus an on-field presentation of a commemorative plaque at halftime recognizing Oklahoma's ongoing contributions to propping up the Texas system of capital punishment. And throw in a lifetime passes for the North Dallas Tollway, Highway 121, and the Bush Turnpike. That would be a good deal." That's sent at 11:36.
To Mr. Kreiss.
To Mr. Kreiss. From Stephen Kreiss: "No, I haven't heard anything about Texas until Jennifer's email, although I've been quite curious what they were planning to do. Looks like they waited until the last minute and now need help from those they refused to help earlier. So I propose," and again, talking about OU Texas, "I propose we help if Texas promises to take a dive in the OU Texas game for the next 4 years." Seth Branham to Stephen Kreiss: "As I predicted, Texas is now in a full panic mode about sodium
bipentol.
Did you all get this email? I'd not sent it until Jennifer forwarded to me just now. We should reply back that we would be glad to consult with Texas for the rock-bottom expert price of $225 per hour, or maybe just tickets on the 50-yard line, lower level, for the next OU Texas game. Seth Branham, Assistant Attorney General." Last word about that. If Commissioner Thompson chose one of those individuals to be his head of his legal team, we believe that that is an unobjective, callous individual that should have nothing to do with what the governor calls an independent review of this process. And if you wanted to add about the your concerns.
Ryan Kiesel, Executive Director, ACLU of Oklahoma, RyanKiesel. We're the Oklahoma affiliate of the American Civil Liberties Union. And just to echo what's been said today, I think it's absurd to think that any investigation can be considered independent as long as the individuals conducting that investigation are accountable to any political figure or any agency that was at all associated with the administration of capital punishment in this case. It's absurd to think that independence could come out of an investigation with that type of a conflict of interest. We believe that an independent investigation must take place not only to create confidence in the administration of justice in the state of Oklahoma, but to add to the larger conversation about whether it is even possible, whether it's even humane at all, for any state, for any government, to take the life of an individual deliberately. I think that what we're looking at here, whether you are in favor of capital punishment or against capital punishment, you have to ask yourself the question, do you trust your government to put people to death in a secret process? In the wake of this, I think that we also have to ask ourselves, do we trust that same government that put someone to death in a hastily rushed, politically motivated execution in a secret process lacking any resemblance of transparency? Can we trust that same government then to investigate itself and do so in a way that instills confidence among the public? I think the answer to that is clearly no. With regard to, and if it wasn't clear enough, with regard to the emails that you've been that have been shown here, I think that that is an obvious example of the type of callous attitude and the culture that would create a conflict of interest within the investigation itself. But also, even leaving that aside, these individuals still answer to the governor. They still answer to the same agencies that conducted this botched execution. So it should be without a doubt, without question, that they should play no role in that investigation. In the next couple of days, the ACLU of Oklahoma will be releasing suggestions for the type of framework that we believe an independent investigation would follow. But I think that that would consider the types of individuals and expertise levels that should be involved: pharmacists, medical doctors, corrections officers from around the nation, what type of format the state's going to follow, the investigation team is going to follow. I think all of these things need to be clear and transparent, because let's be clear, it was that lack of transparency in large part that led to us being here today. Again, this has obvious implications for the debate about capital punishment in the state of Oklahoma as well as across the nation. But again, leaving aside the issue of whether you're in favor of capital punishment or not, the ultimate issue here of transparency, of do you trust your government to take the life of a person in a secret, non-transparent process? And then do you trust the government to investigate itself when something goes wrong in that secret process? Those are the questions that the people of Oklahoma are demanding answers to. Thank you.
Garland Pruitt, Oklahoma City local branch and NAACP. I find it appalling and amazing that here it is in 2014 that we can have a tragedy that has taken place in the manner in which it did, and we have the audacity to think that it's fair, equal, and just for the system to investigate itself. The time is long overdue for us to just sit back on the sideline and allow these things to happen without having a voice in opposition to the position in which the governor has taken. When you make an appointment to those that are supposedly watching the hen house and our hens are being taken, I'm saying that to say that right now, without a doubt, the world is watching Oklahoma City and the manner in which they are conducting their business concerning executions. Our system, our entire criminal justice system needs to be investigated. this is just one more prime example of a botched activity concerning the system that needs to be corrected. We feel an obligation and a responsibility to address those issues when we're confronted with it. This is just another link in the chain of things that needs to be investigated. It's major because it's on the front line of the world media concerning the botched execution. But we as Oklahomans, we as decent citizens, we as people that stand for fair, equal, and just treatment under the law should require an independent investigation, and it should take place, and a moratorium should be on it, just as the president has requested also. I mean, the nation is looking at us for what we've done, and we can correct that. We can correct that right here in Oklahoma by making better decisions and making better choices by putting an independent investigator on the job. Thank you.
In closing, I would like to also just highlight that this not only brings to light our concerns about transparency, but I think the events of the past 2 or 3 weeks have also highlighted the importance of the Constitution and the role of the government in terms of separation of powers. We know that a lot of things went on in terms of the executive branch and the legislative branch and the pressure that was applied on the courts. These add to our reasonings for feeling that an independent and investigative review be performed by someone other than a member of either branch, either the legislative or the executive branch of government. We'd be happy to answer any questions at this point.
Could there be a federal investigation?
Do you know how the body got transferred to Texas for the autopsy? That's a question I have. I think, yes, we feel that a federal intervention in terms of the background of the investigators would be appropriate at this point in Oklahoma. Does anyone know how the body got, the determination was made to perform the autopsy in Texas instead of Oklahoma? Okay. But along those same lines. We were pleased to find out that the autopsy was going to be performed in Texas. Mm-hmm. Any other questions?
Do you have any recommendations or suggestions about who should conduct the investigation?
I think Ryan was outlining what the investigation, how it should be configured. Do you have any thoughts about who?
No, I would say that obviously the president has charged the Attorney General Eric Holder to look into the death penalty nationwide. I presume that that will include a study of what happened right here in Oklahoma. But at the end of the day, this happened in Oklahoma, and there are many, many competent Oklahomans that I think have the respect and confidence of the people of Oklahoma that could be part of that independent investigation team. I welcome federal oversight into this, but I also believe that it would be very possible for there to be an independent team of Oklahomans that would investigate this in a way that would create the kind of confidence that we would hope to come out of an investigation like this. Who that is, I don't know. But I believe that those Oklahomans exist.
Republicans or Democrats?
I think it ought to be both.
And I think that, just interjecting, someone of the respect and integrity of someone like Robert Henry, who was elected multiple times by the people of Oklahoma as the Attorney General, who was appointed by the President of the United States to serve on the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals. Now he's in private life as a president of OCU University. Someone of that caliber and that integrity, I think, is what the process needs. Someone that can reinstill confidence and transparency, openness, someone that has devoted their life to the law and seeking justice. I think that's the type of individuals we need. I think that we don't need Democrats and we don't need Republicans. We need Oklahomans and we need Americans that are fair.
These emails are from the public records from the Colorado Independent Investigation?
Yes.
Is that where you got
the
question?
Correct.
Yes. Senator Johnson, can you talk about, are you gaining any support from the lawmakers in this endeavor? I know you're the one that signed the letter, but if you talk to any of your colleagues, would you
You know, they privately express support. You saw Senator Shumate come in. I know Senator, Representative Seneca Scott has filed a House concurrent resolution as well. I've made the request to the floor leader to have a hearing for SCR 43, and I'm awaiting his reply. Other than that, no, I've not really gotten any open or overt shows, but privately, many are expressing support for what we're doing here. And I think as a whole, the state is expecting us to do something different. Again, regardless of how you feel about the death penalty, and this is coming from proponents as well as opponents, there's some concern about what has happened here in Oklahoma and how it's cast us in the international light, not just the national light.
Is the lack of support, do you think, political? Because it's not a politically expedient stance to take to be opposed to the death penalty or even a study of it?
You know, I think when we want to call it a lack of support, I haven't really seen that yet. I don't know whether the leader will allow it to be heard, which will then clarify a lack of support. But from those folks who've spoken to me privately, I just think it's not their issue. This is an issue that I've been single-handedly tackling for the last 8 years. Prior to that, State Representative Opio Ture was the main advocate. But they just have other things, and I'm happy to take the ball on run the ball on this one.
What do you say to people who claim that Mr. Lockett got what he deserved by having the long, prolonged death due to the botched execution? What can you say to people who are out there that have that attitude?
I think I would say that we are constitutionally derived, and we have to observe that Constitution even when it's painful. The fact that Mr. Lockett suffered cruel and unusual punishment is specifically prohibited in the Eighth Amendment to the Constitution. And in that regard, we violated the Constitution. And so for the people who feel that he got what he deserved, I think we deserve to respect and follow the Constitution.
To add to that, maybe just if I might, just mm-hmm. add one thing. The United Nations of the world has issued a statement now against the state of Oklahoma. And that's the same institutions that talked about things throughout the world that are appalling. Oklahomans respect the First Amendment when people have the right to speak. Oklahomans, I know, overwhelmingly support the Second Amendment to possess firearms. I also want to believe that those same people will respect the Eighth Amendment, as in this case.
Senator, if I may, I think whenever you look at crimes, anyone who's on death row is there very likely because they've committed crimes that are of the most heinous and atrocious of any crimes that could be committed. Even leaving aside the new studies that demonstrate that around 4% of people on death row could very well be innocent, and that the likelihood that state governments around the country that are implementing the death penalty could not only torture and kill people that are guilty of heinous crimes, but they could also exact that same punishment on people that are innocent. Even leaving that aside, I think that it's reasonable for an individual to see this type of punishment meted out against what we consider the worst in our society. I think that that's our reaction. That's our instinct. But our laws very often guard us from our own instincts. Our laws call us to be better than any one individual, to act as a government and not as individuals seeking retribution. And so my answer is, we're better than that. We can be better than that. And we should not, in administering justice, become the same kind of monsters that we seek to punish.
Did you say earlier that this execution was politically motivated? Can you elaborate on that?
I believe that there was absolutely zero legal reason, zero legal rationale at all to rush this execution forward in the manner in which it was rushed. There were questions that remained before the public. There were questions that remained from the defendants themselves. And there were serious concerns about transparency. Yet the governor continued to set an execution date and moved this execution forward when she did not have to. I think that a more responsible and less politically prudent move, although a more wiser move, would have been to put the stay in place and address those issues of transparency. That was not done, and instead, the state treated this condemned man as a guinea pig. They conducted a science experiment on him, not knowing what these drugs would do, not knowing how they would react administered in these levels that they were administered, not knowing where the drugs were acquired, whether it was from a reputable pharmacist or behind a 7-Eleven. We have no idea. And I think that all of those question marks could have been answered and should have been answered before the governor moved forward on this. So I without any legal rationale whatsoever, because these men weren't going to get out the next day. They were going to remain on death row. We could have answered those questions. They would have remained on death row. So why move it forward? I believe it was politically motivated.
How long was it between his conviction and execution?
It was quite a while, but the shortage of drugs, which created these questions and necessitated the questions from defendants' counsel, seeking the transparency of where the drugs came from, what the drugs were, why a particular protocol was agreed upon, those questions are questions that are relatively recent questions that came about since the conviction.
I think to add one last thing, this morning I heard on the radio the discussion about the longer we take in determining what happened, and the Mr. Warner's execution is on hold, that somehow the victim's family will be suffering. And you heard 1 week ago from Mr. Warner's lawyer that the victim in that case, I believe, the mother, had forgiven him and asked that he not be executed. So people are making these very broad death penalty arguments without knowing the specific facts of these cases. And I think the ACLU is absolutely right when they say the world is watching us. If we don't do this right, are we prepared to stand here and talk about a second botched execution? Really, Governor? Is that what we're waiting for? Is Commissioner Thompson going to question himself about what he saw? Really? So I think it's important that we move forward with great transparency, that we walk through in a very calm way, that we not do this in some sort of political rhetoric. I think most people in Oklahoma respect two things: life and the law. And those are two issues that are on the table right now.
Thank you.